Hello and welcome to Wise Women, The Vicar and the Witch. I'm Maggie Whitehouse and I'm the Vicar.
And I'm Susie Crockford and I'm the Witch. We are perceived, perhaps, as being on opposite ends of a spectrum, but we're friends and we see the common threads of our different experience of the sacred. So please join us as we discuss
life, the universe and everything. Hello, today a blue car pulled up flagrantly, in her own words, outside our house, came in through the gate, parked, a woman got out, walked up to the front door. We said hello to each other, the dogs actually met her, and we're meeting in person!
Woo! There may be some silliness, there may be some over-excitement.
Yes.
I'm all of a gabble, I must say.
It is really, really nice, and maybe we'll be able to socialise the hounds now.
Yes.
Because
I
was actually talking on the radio, on Radio WM yesterday up in Birmingham, because I've still got vague contacts there. And the lady posts on Facebook, she was talking about so many dogs are being rehomed now. We're coming out of lockdown.
Know.
You know, people
so
got a dog
sad.
And sending them to rescues. So she was talking about that. And of course, we've always had rehomed dogs. And I was the first person in the world to bring a dog back from America via Spain on passports for pets legally. Anyway, so I was talking to her about how a dog is alive for life, not just for Christmas. But I was honouring the fact that it's been really difficult to have a puppy or a new dog.
Yeah.
Because they're not being socialised correctly. And bless her, she got a new dog because she has beagles too, which is one of the other reasons why she would still contact me. And she lost one. It died last summer and they got a new one. And she went, yes, he's exactly the same. And the new dog is barking at people the way the other one never did. And we haven't let her off the lead yet because we've been restricted. She's in the city on walks and things like that. And she's completely different. We don't know how to handle it. And I was saying, we've all got this. Our children have got this. Our adults have got this. We have been only, for us humans, at least we've got the internet socialising, and young people are at least playing games with each other on the internet, so mentally socialising, but the actual contact thing, we've got a big, big task ahead.
Yeah, I was speaking with a friend the other day who said that her little son is totally overwhelmed when he's in a room with kind of more than one new person.
Yeah.
And that it's clear because lockdown happened when he was two.
Yes.
And, you know, before you're two, I suppose you don't actually do that much socialising.
No.
Sometimes, you know, especially if you live in the country and it's a way to the nearest playgroup or whatever.
Mm.
But come to, when my kids were little, off we went. Playgroup, you know, socialising.
Yeah.
Playing near other children while you learn to play with other children.
Yeah,
all
the play
that,
the playground in the park.
Yeah.
Yes, just down the road from us was the Botanical Gardens, and I'm sure it was deeply privileged because my parents probably had life membership, but for me it was free. You could always just go into the Botanical Gardens and there was a slide and a seesaw, and if you met another child who would play with you, it was paradise.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, well.
Strange times. Anyway, just absolutely heaven to
it's
be in
so
the same
nice
room with
you
and sniff the very, very same beautiful lilac on your desk.
I know lilacs don't like to be picked. You can just about get away with it if you cut all the leaves off, which seems additionally cruel, but the scent is such a blessing.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Luckily for us, from that perspective, we always have to cut our lilac back. It's a massive thug and wants to take over the gateway and all the rest of it. And so I have to admit that each year I cut it back when it's in flower so that I can have the flowers, which I'm sure is not the right way to go around
and
it.
Black mark.
Yes. Black mark from Crockford from the gods. Yeah. But it's just too good not to. The smell is delicious.
Yes, it was a big shock yesterday. We rent here. We live absolutely in the most paradise place, and you'll confirm that because you're sitting in it. And the view around to the hills is extraordinary. And yesterday, our landlord came round and stood. He was a bit like Oliver Twist, you know, sort of twisting his cap in his hand, as it were. And he was very nervous. And we thought, oh, God, what have we done? You know, we're in deep trouble. And basically, he needs to move back into this house because his elderly mother needs to come and live with them. Mm. And this is a bungalow. So basically, we have to leave. And that it was, you'd say it was a huge blow out of the blue, but I think this is relevant for us because, you know, it wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, dear listener, I'm not sounding shocked and horrified because
we've already talked about it.
But Yeah, my goodness,
the oddest twist. Thing was, ever since Desi died, our lovely hunt bee, I mean, we've got beautiful Sappho now, but it was the end of something. Mm. You know, I just knew it was the end of this something, and this, I mean, because I've got a Scorpio moon, parts of me are thinking, oh, maybe I'm going to die, maybe, you know, but I just know there was real changes. And the day before the landlord came around, I just knew I had to rehome the bantams, absolutely out of my head, to find a happy home for the bantams. There's plenty of time all summer. I put it up on South Seal page on Facebook, and this guy came along, perfect, I'm wanting some bantams for my, we just moved into the area, want some bantams for the children, I'll build a how long can you have them, I'll build a coop, I'll build a hut, this is absolutely marvellous, they look lovely. And I'm just going, okay, that was meant.
Yeah.
I mean, the ostensible reason I thought why I was rehoming the bantams, it's funny, isn't it? I'm quite happy to rehome chickens, but I wouldn't rehome a dog.
Yeah.
Funny. Yeah, that's degrees. We might have to get back to that or something. But it was that or the vegetables, because I've tried to plant out vegetables twice this year. The first time there was a frost.
Yeah.
And the second time it was the bantams, because they can fly over everything because they're free range. They can't get up the hill from South
Hill. Oh dear. Yesterday we were having a conversation as I looked at my seedlings, which have been actually really quite horrifically slugged. I don't think I've ever had so many, I guess it's been so wet.
Yeah.
But yeah, entire courgette and marrow plants just disappeared with leaving that little telltale sort of sorry looking stump from the slugs. But last year we lost almost everything to the fattest, most persistent pigeon. I was thinking, we haven't seen any pigeons this year.
We've got pigeons this year. We've never had them before.
Well, they've moved home from ours. Oh. They heard it was good.
But we down today, didn't you?
Sorry. Oh. No, we realised it's because, of course, we've got a puppy. And if anybody bird-like comes and lands in the garden, he's like, oh my God, what's that? Or actually, he doesn't bark at them, but he kind of skips over with his little ears flapping to see what they are, which, of course, is terrifying to a pigeon.
Yes.
And so, hurrah, we've got some vegetables.
Oh. I must train Sappho to chase pigeons.
Definitely.
But I'm not just talking about the house simply from the point of view of, oh my God, what are we going to do now? Where are we going to go? I wanted to look at it in the mystical way as well, because you have to look at patterns in life, and my life is a pattern of death and resurrection. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Moving. There was a period when we went to Montana about when I actually moved house 11 times in 5 years.
Yuck.
And two countries. Mm. And I'm counting moving house when you take furniture with you.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it may only have been for a few months, but you had to take everything with you.
Yeah.
So it's part of my wiring. I don't know whether it's karmic or astrological or pattern, but it does mean that I can cope, because this man was standing there shaking. We've been here 8 years. He knew we wanted to be here pretty much for good.
Yeah.
Saying, but I need the house back. And he was terrified of the reaction he was going to get, because he thought we would be angry, we would be crying. But whether it's training or whatever, we just stood there and went, oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
Right. Well, how long have we got? We need to think about this. What do you need, you know, for the clearing out? Are you going to redecorate? Do you need this, that, and the other? And he was just looking at us with his mouth on the floor going, I can't believe you're taking this so well. Mm. You know, and you couldn't really say, well, actually, I trust in God and I've never not found the most perfect house. It's only later that reaction does set in.
Yes.
It's a bit like doing a funeral. When you take a funeral, you go into showtime mode, which is, I get through this.
Yeah.
Afterwards, you can have the reaction if you want to. But I'm still all right, because part of me is going, ooh, new adventure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you were kind enough to say you didn't have a bad feeling about it.
No, I really didn't. As soon as you told me, I really did feel like, oh, it is going to be an amazing adventure and that you're going to get somewhere that feels like home to you.
Forever home.
Yeah, forever home, in a way that I haven't felt that you feel like this is deeply, deeply, deeply your forever home. Yeah.
Oh, you made me cry. But that is why we are so blessed, because we've got this spiritual dimension. Yeah. And I weep for people who don't, and I see them on Facebook. There's a dear friend of mine who's in Jerusalem at the moment. She's Jewish and her family are in Jerusalem and she's staying with them. And can you imagine what it's like for her there?
Yeah,
and she's atheist. She has nothing to hold on to, whereas I can work with my weekly group to do prayers for healing. And okay, I don't know if they're going to work because I don't know what the karma is and whatever, but at least we can do something.
Yes. Yes.
And we can lift it up.
Yeah.
You know, and after the landlord had gone, Lana and I just turned to each other and said, that's not a coincidence. You know, my mum's gone into the home, so we're freer.
Yeah.
You know, the money for my mum's house is going to go and pay for her, so we're freer. You can look at it as in we're poorer, but that would be entitlement. But you do go down that line of words. Okay, we're being set up to be set free, and God's going to move us somewhere.
Yeah. And I just think it's no coincidence at all. You were telling me earlier that your mum wouldn't come to live here.
No.
But his mum is coming to live here.
Yes.
And that, for me, there's a big story in that around where is the place on earth where your mother, the earth, wants to come to live with you.
Yes.
And that's what I see in the sense of there being a deepness about your next place.
Yeah.
It's just
Oh, that's even more exciting. But I do want to get the vegetables up before we move. But it's interesting too, if you are completely calm, you can negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were saying, well, when do you need the house? And he was saying, oh, well, you're being so nice, you know, at your convenience or something. And legally, it is 6 months on the contract that we have. So, and we said, well, that's November, which means coming up to Christmas. And he said, oh, well, I wouldn't want you to go out at Christmas. So it's completely up to us, which means that the universe can offer us our new house at the perfect time, at any point between basically now and next January.
Mm.
And that universe, a lovely phrase, God is rarely early, but never late. Which means it shows up the day before, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
So we will have to hold on to that one, gritting our teeth very slightly. But new adventure, Susie. And it's so good when you talk things through because you can go, ah, inconvenience, ah. Got to clear out. Ah, got to do months as well. Ah, this, that, and the other. And then you go through. Oh, well, I can, bless, thank God, go through and go, okay, now what?
Yeah.
Now what? Life force rising, you know?
Definitely.
Ooh.
And there's something to be said, and I almost don't want to say this out loud because I just don't want the universe to do this to me. Please, I so love where I live. But there's something to be said for that awareness. We tend to imagine in the West, certainly in the kind of, you know, white, middle-class, entitled, especially middle-aged West, that we're safe, in inverted commas.
Yes.
And this kind of thing could happen to any of us on any day. Mm. You know, I'll never forget sitting in the pub as a clearly rather stupid 20-something-year-old, watching the fire engines go past the pub, and sort of blithely going, oh, I hope that's not my house. Which, of course, it was. And, you know.
Yes.
Just everything changes all of the time. And for some people, everything changes all of a sudden. Yeah. Just like that. And the change is big, not small.
Yeah.
And this idea that we tend to have that we're safe because, you know, maybe we've got a mortgage or we've, I don't know, all the things that we imagine make us think that we're safe. We're not. Anything could change any moment.
Yes.
And that, to me, the remembrance of that is one of the things that keeps me deeply in
gratitude.
Exactly. Yes. I was just trying to think of the word that you use. You don't use
appreciation.
Appreciation.
But it doesn't matter.
No, for me, it's deeply gratitude.
Yes.
I'm so fucking grateful every day that my life is as it is.
Yeah.
And just constantly perched in that knowledge that that's a gift and a blessing and a privilege and all of those things.
Yeah.
Because the rug can be taken from under any one of us at any moment.
Yeah. Well, that's the wonderful thing about coming to yourself, you know, being in the kingdom of heaven, which is the conscious free will aspect of you. And last night I was walking in the field behind the house with the hounds after their supper for their nightly exercise. And I was lost in thought, you know, well, we're going to do this, and I'm going to miss that view. And then my other voice, my third thoughts or whatever you want to call them, just said, honey, you're standing in the field not looking at the view right now.
Yeah.
So let's appreciate the view right now. Because we have another whole summer of this view. As far as we know, we could be knocked over by a bus tomorrow.
Or the perfect place could come up.
Or the perfect place could come up, which is even more beautiful.
Mm.
And it's so lovely being able to reassess with consciousness and talking to Lion about it too. And it actually mooted a really good conversation between us. And we're so blessed because even though we are both annoying old farts and we drive each other crazy sometimes, as you do, it brought up a whole new topic of understanding about each other. And he said, don't forget that as soon as you set first foot on a journey, you never look back. And I said, really? And he said, no, I noticed that. When we were first dating, I would drop you off at Bush House because I was working at the World Service then in London. He would drive me down for a night shift. And he said, every time you got out of the car, you walked into Bush House. You were already there. Your brain had gone into your work. He said, I used to think, why didn't you turn back and wave? Have I done something wrong?
Because you've already been forgotten, mate.
Yeah. That. But he said, but I've watched this over the years because we've moved a lot and I've talked to him about the Montana thing. It's definitely my life to be peripatetic. My dad always said, and everybody I know agrees, is I can make a home in a railway carriage.
Mm.
I can make a home anywhere.
Yeah,
it's just natural that part of it. And of course, now I've gone off on a side thing and lost track.
Go on, you and Lion discovering.
Oh, that's right. You're saying you've all, one of the things either you've learned, maybe it's wiring in the brain, which is the ability to detach.
Mm.
It's over, we walk on. What's now? What's around the corner now? And just having that realization that I could do that, which I hadn't realized I could.
Yeah.
Is such a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that goes back to that, one of my all-time favorite statements, which is that all suffering is resistance.
Yes.
And so it's only if you're in resistance and not in acceptance, yes, of this that you will suffer.
Yes. And that's pure Eckhart Tolle too, isn't it?
Is it?
The power of now, yeah. I think it is all guilt is about the past and all fear is about the future.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bang on.
So come in right now.
Yeah.
What's happening now? Now I'm sitting in my office with having my friend. The other side of the computer. And whatever noises are made by hounds, both of us can understand what's going on.
Indeed, yes. Although your hound is very beautifully and sweetly asleep in the chair that she believes to be hers. And
yes.
You imagine is yours.
I guess I foolishly think it's my meditation chair, yes.
She's super cute. Look how peaceful she is.
Yeah.
Sorry, listener. She's super cute. We shall force Maggie to put a photo of her on the
They vie for that chair. The previous hounds shared the chair, but these two haven't learned how to share the chair. We've got lovely photographs of them. So sometimes, if I'm feeling really soft, the chair that you're sitting in now goes up against the chest of drawers in the corner of this room, and we've got one hound in the tall chair and one hound in the small chair. Which I know is probably wrong because they shouldn't be elevated because it makes them feel superior, but hey, the hound.
Oh, what's she superior to? A fan heater and the carpet? It's not a big deal, I think. I think you're supposed to just not elevate them above you, and and apparently you mustn't elevate puppies above the pack leader, as it
yes,
because that will be a source of yes, major trouble.
Yes, it will teach the puppy it's more. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But to get back to being witchy or vickery, you were saying that everything I've talked about before we have a quick chat before we start. You were saying everything that I'm mentioning was coming up in a workshop last night. So that sounds a bit.
Not all of it in a workshop, but it's just. The whole thing of in the workshop last night, we were talking about mother and how potentially our relationship with our own mother will inform our relationship with the mother.
Yes.
And altogether, heartbreakingly, the most common story that comes up when you delve into the deepest sort of basement, if you like, of our relationship with our own mother, seems to be, I mean, you know, I find this completely heartbreaking, and I wonder if a particular kind of woman is drawn to work with me. I really don't know. But anyway, the thing that comes up over and over and over again is that somehow we have arrived in the story of I am fundamentally unlovable.
Yeah.
Or that... that if not unlovable, that I am not loved, which means that we will have that same story about the earth. Yeah. And that for me, one of the most radical and beautiful ways in which we can change our relationship with all that is, and, you know, the more the human, the more than human world, that I don't just mean nature, because when people say nature, they tend to mean the wild and the green.
Yeah.
And I really do mean all of it. Mm. So the other than human, the more than human, the rest of what is. If we were to believe that fundamentally, not only are we lovable, but we are loved. If matter is mater, our mother, and she created us. And in particular, this was a conversation last night between women who are mothers and who I know unreservedly love their children. And that we really arrived in the place of understanding, oh, our mothers totally love us. They don't necessarily like us.
Yes.
And so, and likewise, we love them back, but we don't necessarily like them.
Yeah.
And that that is the same for our mother, the earth, that, that earth loves us. Of course she does. You know, you'd speak about it in probably God and Jesus terms of course he loves us. Doesn't necessarily approve or like what we're doing, but loves us unreservedly. And that if we could remember that and feel it and know it, really know we are loved, we are love, and we are a manifestation of that love by being put into matter. If we could feel that, how would that change our relationship with the rest of that which is put into matter? If it was all beloved of our mother that we knew ourselves to be beloved of, you can't go around putting 50 pigs in a barn and giving them no room to turn around and blah, 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 blah. If they're, you know, it's that thing that you can condense down into everything else that is my relation. Because we are all beloved of the mother. And that's, we tend to look at it the other way around. We tend to focus, well, in the West at the moment, it seems to me, on we've got to fall in love with nature. But actually, we've also got to remember and allow her to love us. And to remember that we are loved and feel loved. And that, to me, that's really radical.
Yes, it is. It is that, and that makes even more sense of something I did on the Divine Feminine course last year, because I was saying to people, find a place in nature to just sit and be there. And one of the people came up and said, well, I find everything in nature sacred, so I don't need to do that. And I said, no, the idea is for nature to find you sacred. You know, for you to sit there long enough for nature to be able to reach you. So that's actually an extension of that. You know, if you, I find all of it sacred. No, you're lying to yourself. If you can't lie down in it and just allow it to go, oh, here we are in a relationship.
Here we are in love. With all its
tickly bits.
Well, and also with all its difficulties and its confrontations and its negotiations and all the rest of it. But that's such a different place. Are you still on red alert? Do you need to answer that?
No, I'm not on red alert today. Sometimes I'm doing the prayer group when we talk, but no, that's tomorrow. And Lan's picked it up now. But that's the thing about being sitting together in my office. There's going to be a phone.
There's a phone.
How exciting.
It is exciting, I can't tell you.
Yes, the relationship with the mother and the mothering within, whether you mother yourself is about self-care as well. And
that's the other place we went.
Yeah, and we don't. So many spiritual and holistic people don't mother themselves at all. And they actually know they've got their strokes as children by taking care of others and go around taking care of others differently when they're older in a way that still won't be appreciated because it's not accepted by the norm.
Well, and also that the kind of the power structures of the current paradigm are really quite fundamentally based on the Puritan work ethic. You yes. are measured, your worth is measured by your productivity,
yeah.
which means that the caretaker, if so the mother fundamentally is the one who creates and the one who takes care.
Yes.
So you don't need to be mother of a human child to still have mothered something.
No.
And most of us, men or women actually,
yeah,
doesn't really matter.
Too.
We will, yeah, totally. Yeah. And but that internal mother, the caretaker, has typically bought into the power structures of this Puritan.
Mm.
Your productivity is measured by your
yeah.
by your you know, your worth is measured by your productivity, but also this bizarre thing whereby you've got to be seen to be perfect, but you can't be seen to be doing the work. Now, that's another really weird...
yes, the superwoman syndrome type
yeah,
thing. Yeah,
exactly. And that women can literally kind of martyr themselves to this idea that my home's got to be perfect and taken care of, and my husband and my children have to be perfect and taken care
yeah.
of, and my business has to be perfect and taken
yeah.
care of, but that I can't take care of myself
mm.
because somehow or other we've made that mean that we're being lazy or selfish or
yeah.
self-indulgent or
yeah.
or we actually genuinely believe the story that we don't have time.
Yes.
Because everything else is more important than that.
Yeah.
And even though the majority of us would tell another woman,
yeah. yes.
you can't pour from an empty cup,
yep.
we don't take our own advice.
No. It's so deep in the wiring.
It's so deep.
It really is appallingly deep in the wiring. And I still do it too. I'm
yeah,
better than
me
I
too.
Used to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, still do it too. And
yes,
stop it.
Yes, stop it right now. Well, it's a trick actually that I forgot to mention the other night, last night even, is that it's really good to bring around your invisible friend. If my actual friend Maggie is
yeah.
the best person I know at telling me, stop it, sit down and have a cup of tea immediately,
yeah.
you know. No, you have to say no to them. If you're the best tutor for that, then I can bring imaginary
yes.
Maggie with
yes.
me.
Yes.
Whenever I need her.
Yes.
And she can tell me, stop that right now.
Yes.
And that's so useful. When you know you're no good at it, but you know your mate's amazing
yeah.
at it, even if you also know they're shit at it for themselves, if they're great at telling you.
Not quite shit.
No, I know.
Just a little bit.
Better than a lot of people. Not that it's any sort of a competition.
No.
But, you know, whatever works,
yeah.
that we can, that, you know, there is a part of me that is exactly that.
Yeah.
And if I can represent her as you and have your lovely face looking at me going, stop that right now, then I'll listen. Whereas
yes.
if that messenger almost from me to me has my face, well,
yes.
I'm super used to ignoring her.
Yes. Absolutely. No, I get that. I'm still reading Gabor Mate, this
mm-hmm.
Canadian Jewish doctor, and he's saying exactly the same about the drug addicts that he worked with. He worked with a house where drug addicts were allowed to stay and methadone and counselled them and all that. He's totally honest about his reactions to them. Some days he was rubbish to them and some days
mm-hmm.
he was great to them. And he's saying that all of them are saying they're a bad person, they're wicked, they're evil, they're this, that, the other. And he says to them, would you say that to your friend so-and-so? No, she's doing the best she can.
Yeah.
She's had a terrible background. So why aren't you cutting yourself that slack? Oh, well, and that's half the reason why people get into all sorts of addictions. And I've been working with my sugar addiction lately because it needs to go again. Well, it never went. That idea of if you eat keto for 18 months, you'll lose your sugar addiction. Not in my case.
No.
But anyway, and what I do is sort of the equivalent of that, but I could actually bring your lovely face in instead. But I do the Kabbalistic thing of going to Teferet, which is the consciousness. So I want to go and have a spoonful of my homemade lemon curd, which I made at the weekend for Mary down
Woo-hoo!
The road. Oh, God, it's nice. I may have to give you a pot so I don't eat the rest of it. But I'll stand there with my spoonful or with the spoon ready to go in, and then I'll go, I'm going to Teferet.
Okay.
Which is Kingdom of Heaven, the access point to spirit. And I'm going to have a talk with myself about this. And so far, it's really worked. Because I've been willing to debate and negotiate and say, well, I'll tell you what, put it away for 10 minutes, come back and have a spoonful in 10 minutes. And things like that. And then I forget.
Yeah.
Or if in 10 minutes I want to go back and have the spoonful, we've had an agreement, I go back and have the spoonful. And I'm sort of in a kind
good.
Of negotiation with myself, which is almost like going to Teferet is like going to my internal mother. Mm-hmm. Is this what you really want? Is this what's good for you? Are you actually wanting some sugar because you feel about this? You're feeling you want it to be taken down from a high or up from a low, or you're just bored?
Mm.
What other addiction can we look at here that's a slightly less harmful one or something? And it's been fascinating. I don't know if I will continue with it because I do know that the ego has such a cunning little plan about these things. Have you noticed? You start something and you're doing it really well, then suddenly you completely forget.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
And that's your brain going, uh-oh, this is starting to work. It's going to change you, not having that.
Yeah.
Yep. And it does that because you're safe now,
yep,
and the
yep.
ego's only interested in keeping you safe, and change is always scary. So my ego, probably over all the years, has been since hiding in a corner going, shit, 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 shit. Whereas my Turian son has been going, right, how do we do this then? I've started, so I'll finish.
Mmm, handy. Yeah.
But it does unfortunately get you told that you're a strong woman so you can deal with things, which really hacks me off.
Does it? Why?
Because it sort of negates what the so-called strong woman is always also facing. I don't have to help you. You're a strong woman.
Oh,
you'll be all right. As opposed to
massive lack of compassion.
Yes, yes.
Or support.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it's like a meme I posted the other day, which I absolutely loved, which was, and it has always chimed badly with me when somebody says they may be old but they're young at heart.
Mm.
And the meme was actually, well, why do you want to be young at heart? Do you want to be loved by a young heart that's fickle and doesn't understand the depths of love? Or would you rather be loved by the Kaliak who knows all the pain and all the grief and who can sit with you in your grief? Thank you. Forget your young heart. I want an old one.
Yeah. Oh, totally agree.
I love that because it just... It's one of those things that slots into place something you've been slightly uncomfortable about for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, proud to have an old heart.
Totally proud. And frankly, super proud to have an old face and greying hair.
Yes.
And all of those things. Because, exactly that, really. Because growing old is, on the one hand, such a privilege. Because, as we said before, mm-hmm. you know, the rug can be whipped from under you at any moment. You mm-hmm. don't necessarily get to grow old.
Yeah.
And as two people who both face cancer, we're fully aware
mm.
that we didn't necessarily get to grow old.
Yeah.
But that this idea that we should be eternally youthful, and the moment that we're not, that we've lost that somehow, we've yeah. lost it all.
We've lost our value as soon as we have lines. Oh.
Yeah. But I do think that's because our culture is absolutely petrified of older women, mm. which I choose to embrace the term the crone.
Yes.
Because, yeah, yay to the Kaliak, yay to the Morrigan, to all of them, to Baba Yaga, yeah. totally. Because she, in that wisdom of her old heart and in the fierceness of no longer needing to be approved of or
yeah.
desirable or any of those yeah. things, she is uncontrollable.
Yes.
And therefore terrifying to the status quo.
Yes.
I loved it. I mean, it's very inappropriate, but, you know, they've heard us say fuck enough times. One of my favourite kind of definitions of the crone was, well, she doesn't give any fucks.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, that's how petrifying is that
yeah.
to the structures of now,
yeah.
because they need us to give fucks and they need us to
yeah.
be, you know, good girl, afraid
yeah.
a bit. And
Malleable,
yeah. obliging, because yeah. when you get to that true place, truly, where you stand up in, no, thank you, my old heart, my old face, my grey hair, my wisdom, my experience,
yeah.
my I've seen this before-ness,
yeah.
you know, we start, when you live longer, you start to be able to see the patterns
yes.
of how stuff goes round and round and round, and so you don't get so caught up in
mm.
it each time, that you stop being able to be manipulated
mm.
and, you know, if I was to go down a kind of conspiracist version of the way the world is, we don't have any elders because,
mm.
as in not old people,
yeah,
but true elders,
yeah.
because elders would be counter to the status quo.
Yes.
Because the status quo doesn't support us or our planet.
No. my mum is saying she's in this lovely 5-star care home now, and she is loving it, though. She's
not good
in her own. her little list of complaints. She has a little list of complaints. I think, God, you are more like me than I'd care to know work about. But she's venturing out, and she's saying, but everybody else is asleep. And she thinks she's actually talking about sleep, but she's more accurate because most of those elderly people are just existing. And that's not what old age is for. Old age is for the wisdom.
Yeah.
But the internet has just replaced it with information.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always remember phoning up my mum and saying, where do you get glycerin? Because I put a couple of drops of glycerin in Christmas cake icing because it keeps it soft.
Mm-hmm.
And I assumed you'd get it from a supermarket, but of course you got it from a chemist. Now, nowadays, you probably just Google where do you buy glycerin and get it from Amazon if you wanted to. But I rang my mother.
Yeah.
Because she was the one who taught me how to make the Christmas cake in the first place and how to have soft icing and all that. So, I mean, that's knowledge.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, not to romanticise ridiculously, but it's certainly true in my own life. If I rang my mother about where do you get glycerin, I'll get more than the information about glycerin.
Oh, yes.
I'll get a reminder of how to make the ace icing just perfect.
Yes.
A little catch up on maybe some family gossip, although actually my own mother is hopeless at passing on any gossip. She's like the least gossipy person in the world, as in it takes someone to have, well, even then, sometimes I don't find out for months. I was going to say births, deaths and marriages, but even some of those, you know.
Pass her by.
Don't pass her by. She just forgets to pass them on. And, you know, all kinds of other wisdom from her experience.
Mm.
And that's, you can't, Google won't give you that.
No. No, it won't. We have to stop because we're running over.
We're horribly over time.
Yeah, well, we're going over it. But my mum's totally anti the internet, and I can absolutely understand that. But she's lacking the knowledge of how useful that can be because it's part of out of her time.
Yeah.
She's just not engaged in it. I mean, it can be incredibly useful. And I do say to her, but if you would have a tablet, we could talk face to face.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah, it swings
around.
You never
know, she might not want to.
No, I think she doesn't want to.
Yeah.
We did set up the opportunity for her to do that when we moved down here and she just broke the computer. So then we gave her another one, she broke that, and we said, oh, okay, then you don't want to.
Yeah. Well, you know, she's had phones all her life. And I must admit, for me, I find I'm actually able to speak more deeply if I'm not in a room with somebody.
Mm.
I can, and I found this on you with Zoom.
Yeah.
It was lovely to see you occasionally, but both of us would often shut our eyes for so much of the conversation because just to hear what you're not in the room with, it's much easier to connect than kind of the distraction of you being able to see them.
Yes, that's very true. Yes, it is true. And I often find myself on a Zoom form sort of glazing away.
Mm.
Whereas if I'm on the phone, thank God we can move around with phones nowadays, so even though that's bad for us, I'll walk.
Yeah.
I walk around, I talk. Sometimes I walk around the house while I talk, and it's part of the grounding for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're at 37 minutes, so we really must stop.
Okay.
And we need to mention something, which
we
is...
We do. We have made a Patreon account, and this is to support the ongoingness of this wonderful podcast. And thank you so much to the people who have signed up to it already. So far, we've been, well, mostly Maggie, actually, although we did a deal around a butterfly. Maggie's been paying for it out of her own pocket, basically. And we'd love it to continue. We get a lot of really positive feedback. And it would really help both of us if it continued under its own volition. So
it would be lovely. We have to pay 15 quid a month flat out. There's also the mileage and all that kind of thing. So if you fancy buying us a cup of coffee every month or something, that's lovely. I'll put the link to the Patreon page on the
Podbean
website, shall I?
Yeah.
But if you look up Wise Women, the Vicar and the Witch Patreon, you'll find us. And this is always going to be free. It's the same as my Kabbalah group on a Tuesday. The teaching or the conversation is absolutely free. But if you want to donate, we've placed a situation so you can.
Yeah. And also, you know, it's not just about covering the cost of Patreon. It's about, not Patreon, Podbean.
Yeah.
It's also, let it be about actually supporting us in this work we do and valuing our time.
Because, absolutely.
You know, both of us scratch about for a living somewhat. And I think that's it's an important thing. You know, I've really noticed it when I listen to other podcasts. Mm. It takes time.
Oh, yeah.
And to offer that value back, and it's so funny, I'm now talking about other people's and then feeling mortified that it sounds like I'm saying about ours, but it's important to be able to say, oh yes, I want you to be able to do more of this, so I'm going to support the time that you'll spend doing it. That feels important.
And it's also very, very valuable for women like us to ask, because we were trained not to.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah. And I once lost a friend once because she said, you charge for healing? How dare you? And I tried to say, well, I have to pay a mortgage. I have to have the electricity bills. It's my time. I can't be earning money elsewhere. The healing is free because I don't do the healing, but the time and the location I charge for. But she never forgave me for it.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the things you have to do is step up and say, I'm worthy. I deserve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And on that note, thank you. If you want to donate, please do. And if you don't want to donate, please don't. And we'll see you next week.